topic is called Be'inyan Dibor Ben Alma Chavero, but my sophisticated English title is Communication Through Conversation. Communication Through Conversation. I'll tell you the first story which led to this idea of Avad. An older person, that means someone older than me, recently commented that someone says, oh, I have to talk to you about something. He says, okay, if you want to talk to me about something, it doesn't mean we sit there for a half hour texting each other. Rather, it means we pick up a phone or we meet and we talk. I remember first hearing this line. I think one of my kids even told it over to me. Like, what's the difference? Like, what difference does it make if you have a conversation through texting? Or have a conversation through talking to a person, through seeing the person? What difference does it make? I'm not just going to send one text. I'll send multiple texts. So isn't that a conversation? What is a conversation if not multiple text? Right? Wrong. Conversation is probably, judging from many things that comes my way, a conversation is something which definitely is something which people don't do much today. People don't do much when it comes to conversations. The art of a conversation, for sure, on many people is lost. And many people never even knew what it was. I think a lot of things, a lot of behaviors you see is just from the fact that people don't know what it means anymore to have a conversation about something. I'll give you an example. This I see around yeshiva a lot, but it's you see totally in the world. Right? Let's say somebody does something which irks you. Right? It could be your roommate, your chavrusa, a rabbi. What's your response? So, the normal response that would be is if someone did something that bothers you, you should calmly go over to the person and say, you know, is there a time we could talk about this? And explain your reason why it bothers you what they said and talk about it. Hey, you know, why'd you call me out? Why did you make that joke about me on the Grommet? You know, I didn't appreciate that much. Have a conversation. Instead, what happens is, well, usually people just blurt out things to friends. Or, if not to friends, other people. Or if to that guy, maybe he'll say like one line. But people don't talk things out. You have an issue, talk about it. Now, I get part of it is you're uncomfortable and this, but it comes from the world of tweeting. Somebody tweets one thing, everybody else tweets out a few lines there. No one's having conversations, people just spitting out, reacting with lines. You said this, so I react, that's crazy. Stupid. Can't believe you said that. And you see people's behavior right and left. This is what they do. This is their reaction. Huh. Ashkaf is stupid. My chavrusa. I sometimes have guys talk to me about the issues they have with the chavrusa. One of my first strategies is try to get the guy to talk to his chavrusa about it. I can't do that, Rabbi. What's going on? We'll get to that in a second. People will make up and will have all these reasons why they can't have conversations, and they never have the skill just to talk about the issue with somebody. This bothers you? This is something that's hitting you emotionally that it causes a response? Good. So talk it out. No. Many people don't have the communication skills to have a conversation and talk out an important topic. I'm illustrating it for times when things bother people and they're sahist, they're riled up, upset about something. But that would be the first time you'd think they would talk about it because it's bothering them. So that's part one of the issues I'd like to deal with today. Talk about the skills of communication. In particular, this is the hair I had preparing for the share. If there, probably the most important time in your life to have conversations is right now, coming up to it. Think about it. When you're a little kid, right, 12 years old, do you have conversations? No. How was school today? Great. Nice. Fine. When do you engage in conversation? Like, I don't mean a few texts, a few lines, like a real talk. When? Sometimes people have friends and they have deep conversations, or not so deep conversation. What is the best pizza? How do you do it? Right? Okay. But like a real deep conversation, talking about your feelings. Many people, they could be 18, 19, 20 years old, they never had a DMC, deep, meaningful conversation. None. Now realize what's coming up the track in your life. First and foremost, everybody here is here in yeshiva. Be'ezus Hashem, right? Everyone kafi dargaso. I have to figure out how long they want to prolong their yeshiva career. That's a very important conversation. That's the type of conversation which A, probably guy should have with his Rebbe. Talk about what's right for him. B, after you do that, have a conversation with your parents. Or multiple conversations. And that's a big deal. So that's one big conversation, set of conversations that's going to come up. Top of that, it's always with the balance of college, choosing a career, choosing a plan for life. When are you doing it? How are you doing it? It doesn't just happen. No one just like, you think you're going to decide what you're doing with your life in like a few texts. You can't get away with it. A few sentences. What you need to have is a conversation. But I'm not used to having conversations. That's exactly my point. You're right. So a person has to know, have the ability to be able to have a conversation. You have to be able to talk about yeshiva, about college, about a parnasa, about the path in life, about Be'ez Hashem Shidduchim. And once you enter that parsha, besides talking to your parents about starting Shidduchim, what about the fact that you're going to be on a date with a girl? You hear me, Jacob? On a date with a girl, you're going to have a conversation. You can't just hawk her. You want to hear about Luben's hashkafah? Yeah, that maybe you could, you know, in a smart way. But you have to be able to have a conversation, a DMC. If you don't develop the skills to have a conversation, we're in trouble. Big trouble. And Be'ez Hashem, the rest of life is all about conversations. Husband and wife, Be'ez Hashem with children, if you have Talmidim. There's so many different aspects to the conversation. And what I hope today, these few short minutes, is to begin the conversation of what it means to learn the art, to master the art of having communicating through conversations. Now, the first thing I'd like to do for us to understand well what conversations are about, how to have conversations, there's a shmuz in this week's parsha. If you look on the sheets, you can't find this in the old Chiddush HaLeivs or even the semi-new Chiddush HaLeivs. The latest edition of the Chiddush HaLeiv has this on Bereishis, which not too many people have. But you should be familiar with the Rashi. I'll quickly go through the steps. I'm not going to read every step inside. V'rakbereno Sham Bederech Ephros Hi Beis Lachem. Yaakov Vita tells Yosef that he buried Rachel. Why he buried Rachel Bederech? Perish Rashi V'olachte Afilo Beis Lachem Lachnis La'aretz. He and bring her to Beis Lechem. V'yadati sheyesh b'lipcha alai. I realize that you have tainus on me. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, Avodalecha shal pi'adibur kavarti sham shetei la'azor levaneha.
The reason why I buried her there was to help out Klal Yisrael, Kishigol, something that they're rotten, but over in Derech Sham, Yasser Rachel, Akivra, Ubochem, Vakeshus Oleim Rachamim. So Rash, famous Rashi, Rashi's telling us that on his deathbed, Yaakov tells Yosef the reason why he buried Rachel, but Derech. This is not the shmooze you guys saw earlier this week. Trust me. So, the Reshiva asks a very simple, beautiful kasha. Reshiva asks a beautiful kasha. That why in the world would Yosef have a taina on Yaakov Avinu? Yosef is somebody, obviously he goes through the halacha of being down kaf schus. Yosef is somebody that knows you have to be down kaf schus. So of course Yosef did the right thing. Of course Yosef knows that Yaakov Avinu had a very good cheshbin, and his father's the tzaddik, he's Yaakov Avinu. Of course Yosef was down kaf schus. I mean, we both say, think about it. You can build up the Reshiva's tzir even more. This, we're talking about a stage in Yosef's life where he already forgave the brothers for everything they did and saw the Yad Hashem and everything that happened. So his own brothers that sold him, he was able to forgive and forgiven. Forget about it. He could totally convince them. Hey, you know, I realize it's all the right thing to do. Don't worry about it. So you don't think he was Dana's father, Lekav Schus. There was a very good reason why he buried Rachel Baderech. What in the world is Rashi saying that Yaakov was afraid Sheyesh B'Lebcha Alai? You have time on me. So, ever the Reshiva, but I'm going to add one little step, that of course Yosef was Mekayim fully the mitzvah of Dana Lekav Schus. But Afal Pikein, there's a certain dakel, small bit of a doubt. And that small bit of a doubt was something that Yaakov was worried about now, especially when he's asking for Yosef the same thing, to bury him, to take care of his burial. Now Yaakov nervous about that, and therefore Yaakov's addressing it. Now stop for a second and think about that. What that means is, despite Yosef's very strong effort to be Dan Yaakov Lekav Schus, until Yaakov tells him the reason why he did it, Yosef's going to have a suffix. Even though 99% of his mind, 99.9, he's sure there's a good reason, but in his mind, people have conversations in their mind. And there's some little bit of his mind that says, maybe it wasn't a good reason. A little bit of a suffix. Especially on a topic which he never talked through with Yaakov Avinu. We'll see in a moment. If he talked over with Yaakov Avinu, okay. But this is a topic you never had a conversation about. When people don't talk about things, that's a very dangerous area. You could be Dan Lekav Schus, your father's Yaakov Avinu, but still there's room in your mind when you don't have a conversation about something, your imagination says, maybe this, maybe that. And really, Rabosai, this is mamish ma'isim b'chol yom. I've seen so many times people will dream up, I never said that, I never would say that, I never would think that way, but you took X, Y, and Z, and we never spoke it out as a conversation, and you assumed that this would be my reaction. You assumed this is how your chavrusa will react. Your parent would react. They're all mental thoughts. Conversations that we have, imaginations we have in our own minds, what other people would think, what other people would say. The only way ever to fully get it out is to talk about it. But being the fact Yosef never spoke it out with Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov understood that there's a certain amount of a suffix. And that certain amount of a suffix is so powerful and so dangerous. Yaakov had a chashash that on some level, this is going to make a nafkamina. Yosef's not going to bury me. Yosef's not going to take full control full responsibility to bury me. I have to speak this out now. And even though there's a Gor Aryeh, I remember Ben Tzion Chait once saying a shmuz on this, the part of the whole Cheshbon on Yaakov never spoke about it till now was because of the fact that there was, what's it called? He was saying some bad news about the Tzaros and the Galos. Okay, and that you don't bring up. The Sif Sechamim quotes that Gor Aryeh, fine. But Koza Achnes. But right now, Yaakov feels I have to speak it out. I have to say it. Okay. How did Yaakov calm everybody? What complicated thing did Yaakov do? If there's some dalkos, very deep-seated doubts, sveikos, conversations in Yosef's mind, how does Yaakov get it out? How does Yaakov stop it? Zakta Rosh Hashiva, that just from the fact of Yaakov just speaking about it, saying it out, that solves everything. When you have a conversation and you're blunt, you're honest, you're clear, the other person comfortably hears what you said, now I have clarity, now everything is fine. But you have any sveikos? No, we talked about it already. People totally underestimate what a conversation could do. Before the conversation, Yaakov Avinu is afraid Yosef won't do his utmost to bury him. But after that conversation, very simple. Simple, clear conversation Yaakov had with Yosef. I'm a new man. I hear you. We're on the same team. We're on the same page. The difference it makes taking the time, taking the effort to have a conversation, to spell something out. Don't assume. Just talk about it. Talk it through. Look the difference what Yaakov Avinu accomplished by just talking with Yosef. So, Rabosa, I believe you see from here on a pretty big scale. This is Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed. What do I have to do? If it's only a svek, this is something you worry about. He has to give all the Birchas Yaakov. Before the Birchas Yaakov come about, he first has to do this. The Birchas Yaakov were things which Tali Berumo Sha'olam. But having a conversation, speaking things out with somebody, clarifying something, is of mamish utmost importance. And it's not a hard thing to do. Just speak it out. Just say it. So many times in our own minds, we think conversations are so much harder because we make so many assumptions of what the other person thinks and what they're going to say and how they're going to react. And you never know for sure until you actually bring it up. So these two yesodos, I think, are the first step in conversations. Number one, realizing so much of what we have is made up, is fake, is imaginary, are ideas that we have in our minds. And even if you know, well, last time I brought this up, they reacted this way. That's not a riot. They're going to react that way this time. Every circumstance, every people many times are moody, different situations, different things change. Well, 5 years ago, 5 years ago is not now. People have so many castles they build in their mind. This after this after this after this. Just have a conversation. Talk about it. A simple conversation solves so many things. Practically, when we talk about having conversations, I think it's kedai to point out there's two types of conversations to have. I think both of these conversations have milos and chesronos, but both of them are things for people to use when they want to communicate with another person. First one I'll talk about is the formal conversation. Probably when I use the word conversation, that's the image, without I talking it out, that you conjure up in your mind. What's a formal conversation? Okay, so let's play it out. With your parents, it means, okay, mom, dad, tati, I don't know what they call them, mommy and a tati, but yeah. Can we talk about my future? Oh, it's just like so scary just saying that. And they're saying, they also breathe in, breathe out. okay, let's set time on the schedule. When can we do this? Let's get other people out of the house. Oh boy, a big deal, a big to-do. Now, the milo of having a formal conversation is A, you prepare well for it. It's a big event. So you prepare well for it. You have everybody like super focused on the inyan. Okay, you're going to prepare what I'm going to say to my parents. Your parents are going to prepare what they're going to say to you. Then somehow you realize once one of you starts talking where the other one's holding, they have to scrap half of what they prepared ahead of time and go on to plan B. Really? It's not so bad. That's part of the thing. You prepare for a conversation until you understand where the other person's coming from. Sometimes you have to audible, like, oh, really? Switch it all up. But okay, you have all your preparation. You prepare, they prepare. Talk to your Rebbe. Rebbe, I have to talk about this. Okay? We'll make a meeting. This. Obviously, guys are afraid. Oh, I don't have a meeting. Big deal. Do I feel comfortable enough with the Rebbe to have a whole meeting talk about this topic? It's a big deal. Okay? So all these things are, you have to balance. Formal conversation. But if you have a formal conversation, you give it the time. The milah is, you prepare, they prepare. Hopefully it's a clear, comprehensive talk on the matter. You talk it through. Probably there's a lot to think over afterwards. A lot of times you have to come back. Just because you have one formal conversation doesn't mean you can't have more conversations. My father-in-law tells of all these stories of when he was deciding between coming to Miami versus staying in Queens, becoming the principal of the high school there. He had like multiple like days of conversations with Rashiva. And like Stam, you know, for the hawkers out there, just to have these conversations, I was like, you know, could I have the hawk just to go through the conversations? Because I got so much hashkafa, so many good stories, spent so much time with them. It's great. But really, yeah, the conversations could take days. I remember personally, I had discussed when before I decided when it was time to start dating, I asked that child to the reshiva. I had like quite a long time. One, I got invited back for another. It was lebedik, a lot of fun. So conversations doesn't have to be a one-time shot. You could follow up. No one says you weren't fully prepared for what the other side said they're going to do. So, okay, I'll do my homework. I want to come back. But the milos of a conversation, the pros and cons, the milos are the clarity, the preparedness that each side puts into it, the complete treatment of it. Okay, there are cons. It's scary. You're nervous about it. Okay. But there's another art of another conversation called an informal conversation. An informal conversation, sometimes people don't even realize you have it. You know, I'll spit out one with you. I try on a daily basis to have an informal conversation with every single guy in the yeshiva. That's one of my goals. Now, it could be you don't even realize I do that. You don't even realize Rabbi Palgan does it. You don't realize. It comes up. You see a guy, good morning, how you doing, this. You talk about one topic that, you know about the guy, and you see his response. Okay, is he happy? Is he sad? Is he overwhelmed? We'll talk about your chavrusa. We'll talk about your grandfather. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about that. Just an informal conversation. What does that do? Well, A, it's something which you test the waters where the other person's at. But B, informal conversations are a way of just getting your comfortability with somebody and potentially bringing up, oh, by the way, Rebbe, what about this? And sometimes a third thing, you could gauge the other person without them being on guard. Like imagine you have to talk to your parents about college. So you could have a big formal conversation, mom, dad, we have to have the big talk about college. Or you know what, Agavorcha, you're talking about something, you bring up a story. You know, my friend in college, you know, feels like it's such a strain, college and yeshiva. And just, you know, you weren't officially having this as a conversation. You just, you know, you bring up a story about your friend, right? What's their reaction to that, you know? And just gauge them. No pressure on their side. But you see, you get a picture, a window into what they're thinking. That's a very, very smart idea. In a certain sense, the art of informal conversation sometimes could bear much greater fruits than a formal one. Because nobody's prepared, nobody's pressured, and you're just casually sort of like sifting for details, searching. Maybe I'll pull up something. Maybe I'll get something. And by doing that, you could see, okay, where are my parents holding? What does my Rebbe think about this plan for me in life? What does, you know, my friend think? Am I ready to start dating? All these little, just a little line here or there. It's a short conversation. That's part of it too. But it's something, you have an agenda, you have a goal, you want to say something. And that is also a means of understanding when the other person's coming. And now I'm prepared. Now I'm going to have a formal conversation with them. It's sort of like a scouting report. I already have a better idea of where they're coming from. I may not have the full scouting report, but I got one page of the opposition's notebook. Now I understand them a little bit better. So these two ideas, two types of conversations, a formal conversation and an informal, obviously the informal, the kind of an informal is not going to get as much of it out. It's definitely not going to be as comprehensive. You're not going to be as prepared usually. And if the other side's not prepared, they also might be just giving you an answer off the cuff. But you're still getting something. And you did it in a quicker span of time. Lavdavka, every moment. Right now, it could be I don't have the time to do a formal conversation. But to talk about it, to start the conversation, talk about it a little bit, is something which gives you a picture where the other person's coming from and gives you a means and a better idea of how to respond. See, we live conversations, a person, this is another area, has to know himself. Some people are very quick on their feet, and you maneuver that way, I can maneuver that way, and, okay. A lot of other people, look, I need to prepare, this is the direction I was going in, this is what the suggestion I was going to say. You reject that, you're not happy with that, okay, I have to go back to my chambers. Let me think about it again. I'll come back. Different people will have to get a knack for themselves. The more they engage in conversations, the more they see themselves. How good am I at this? How much preparation do I need before I have a conversation with somebody about this topic? But the more a person does it, Be'ez Hashem, the easier it gets. And another Eitzah. A lot with the conversation is about a person's comfortability. The more comfortable you are with a person, the more easy to have the conversation. Maybe that's part of the idea. You know, let's say you talk about the guy before Shidduchim. So the line I would say is everybody needs a Rebbe he's comfortable with talking about these things. Because, look, I want to get Das Torah, I want to get perspective, but it's important that you feel comfortable that we can have this conversation. If you feel very uncomfortable in the conversation, you're going to be limited in what you say, and by that, people can't read your minds. You could sometimes figure things out, but no, not so easy. I think I could divulge this. The other day we were talking in a home meeting about something. And our Luman's take was, I assume the guy's not really saying the reason of what's bothering him. And we're all sitting there like, oh, okay. Taka, he's probably right. Like, it's hard having a conversation where the material you're getting is not really the full story. So that's why it's so important for a person to feel comfortable. The more comfortable you are, the more you're going to open up, the more you're going to give a clearer picture of what's going on in your life. And the Rebbe could respond, because I see all the factors. If I get half the factors, I could only give an answer based on what I see. I could figure some things out, but there's only so much. But comfortability is such an important thing. for a person to sit there and talk about these things. And also, Mimela, for the second step, for you to be comfortable, for you to speak, but also for you to listen. Half of a conversation, this is probably the other half, and the other reason, or we're not so into having conversations. It could be, a lot of people like talking. Not so many people like listening. And if you really want to engage in a conversation, it's a two-way street. You have to talk to the other person, and you have to listen to what they say. And listening is an art. That I for sure could quote Rabbi Feuerman. Remember him talking about it not too long ago. Just sit back and listen. Listen to what they say. Listen, listen, and listen. But that's a big part of a conversation too. Listen to what the other person says. Don't hear what you want to hear. Right? Every Rebbe will tell you. Okay, you're hacking pshat in the sugya. Rebbe, that's my pshat. Oh, okay. Look, you hear what you want to hear. It happens to everybody. I was guilty of it. Yeah, that was what I was saying. Really? I didn't hear that. Don't inject your pshat into the Ron. Let the Ron talk to you. Let the Ksos talk to you. Hear what he has to say. Listen to him. So, those are ideas. So, I want to summarize some of these ideas and end with one more point. So again, the basic idea that we're talking about tonight is, in general in the world, probably the biggest breakdown we have with digital media and all that, besides all the problems which people realize with Pritzos and Bittel Zman and all that, it's really more, there's so much of a breakdown in basic communication. And people don't know the art of what it means to have a real conversation. And especially, we said, at this time in our lives, we're teenagers, we're getting older, we have to have decisions in life about yeshiva, parnasa, path in life, shidduchim. You have to have conversations with your parents, your siblings, your rebbeim, your friends. And lav dafka, you have any track record other than maybe a good friend here or there on some late night in the common room or in camp, we had some degree of a conversation, a DMC, a deep, meaningful conversation. And people should think of this. This is an area I want to improve in. This is an area I want to think about. I want to go about. How am I more comfortable having conversations? And we talked about the Yesod from Reshiva Shmuz, how people without a conversation will dream up layers and layers, tainas and problems, just speak it out. Who said that's true? Yosef, you have a taina in Yaakov, he did the wrong thing? I don't know. Yosef, you never spoke to him, you never asked him. Maybe it was awkward, maybe it wasn't covetic for you to ask, fine. But Mamela, you're going to dream up things which may not be true. And the way to solve it is very simple. Just talk it out. Yaakov Avinu changed Yosef, Mizrach the Mariv, by just speaking about it. We talked about the milos of two types of conversations, a formal conversation, where you're prepared, where it's given the time of day, you're comfortable, it's comprehensive, and also the milos of an informal conversation, where sort of you could fish for the perspective of the other person that you want to talk to, and get somewhat of a picture of where they're coming from, so you can be better prepared next time you want to bring up this conversation in a bigger way. And finally, we talked about the greater the comfortability that a person has with the conversation, the better. One last point, and this I think is something that people could relate to. Besides all the reasons, and of course, of having conversations, because you want to get to the clarity of what the right things to do in life, in this situation, that situation. Obviously, a person realizes you can't go in on these things by yourself. You need advice. You need hadracha. You want to clue the people who are closest to you in on what's going on in your life. But there's another aspect of conversation. When you have a conversation with somebody else that builds bonds, that itself makes a kesher. And in a certain sense, it's circular. I'm only going to feel comfortable with my parents having a conversation after I have a conversation. Sometimes the only way you feel comfortable with a Rebbe in having conversations is you talk to him. Okay, maybe you don't have to have the big formal conversation to begin with. Start with a smaller one. But have a conversation. Sit down. Talk about something. See how it goes. When you have a conversation, just by talking to somebody else, emotionally, that builds bonds with people. I'll give you a raya. Baruch Hashem, this past week, we had tremendous Siyata Shemaya, tremendous chus. We'll start with Thursday night. Yeshiva went, and we were able to show kavod, and not just show kavod, to receive kavod from the Gedolei Hador of Shmuel Kamenetsky at this Torah Masorah convention. We saw him, maybe got a photo op with him, he shook his hand, got a bracha from him, fine. Beautiful event. I walked away Thursday night, I was very happy. But I'll tell you one thing, and the guys all know this. Sunday morning, if not for the din of Kohen Mekano Chutz Mibnova Talmido, boy, was I jealous of you guys. The guys who went on Motzi Shabbos, who sat there with their Shmuel for an hour, what was the difference between Thursday night and Motzi Shabbos? You got photo ops both times. You saw Rav Shmuel both times. Rebbe, come on, such a big difference. What was the difference? Well, I spoke to him. I was able to speak to him. Did you have a DMC? A deep, meaningful conversation with him? Most people didn't. But you know what? There's a difference between connecting with a person by seeing him, by shaking his hand, by getting a bracha, connecting. That's a wonderful madriga. It's a wonderful thing. But when you talk to another human being, that's the way we operate. That's the way we are. Emotionally, you connect. Now for the rest of my life, where Shmuel Kamenetsky and me are just like this. Right? What's my language? We're friends. We're friends. I'm friends with Shmuel. You're friends with Shmuel. Are you crazy? Well, I spoke to him once. Okay? Speaking to a person, even if it's not a big conversation, that builds an emotional bond. Kol shekein, the kavul chomer, if you have a meaningful conversation, if the conversation actually makes piros, helps you out, helps you through a challenging and difficult situation, help, your parents, your rebbeim, your friends help you make a decision on something beforehand you weren't able to do, what do you emerge after you do that? You emerge a different person, but besides a different person, a person who's forever connected to this person. This parent, this Rebbe, this friend helped me through. I had this conversation with him. He helped me through this thing. Forever, I have that connection with him. I have that bond. You can never take that away. So, Bezal Hashem, we should all be Zocha to figure out, use the art of communicating through conversation. And Bezal Hashem, we should be Zocha to build many bonds and many connections. And many people we should have, that if we're ever in a bind, if we ever need advice, if we're ever cloudy about something, we should feel comfortable speaking up and talking about it.